Father, thank you for your word. We magnify your word. Lord, you magnified your word above your name. Father, your word is all important. We thank you for visiting us with revelation, Lord God, the thing that will change our life, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for your word today, that it'll continue to build us up. It'll feed us. It'll give us strength to endure. Lord, we love your loving kindness. And in the name of Jesus, let revelation flow. Let people be enlightened. Let lights come on. Let doors be open. Let windows be pulled back. That light would come in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, welcome back, Katie. Katie, Evan, we're on the mission field all week. Can't wait to hear the stories, girl. God is good to us. Let's return back to Daniel. Hallelujah. Daniel. We might say, is this actually a study, and we're rooting out every detail of Daniel and finding out all the aspects of Daniel? I would say no, because in this short time of presenting to you the book of Daniel, the main point that I'm bringing out in the book of Daniel is that this man, Daniel, and his three friends are featured in this as well, in the early time of the book of Daniel. They were thrown in, they didn't ask to go there. They were thrown in a particular place. They were carried away captives. They didn't go voluntary. They didn't go down to their trip advisor and they say, let's take a trip. You know, let's go to Babylon. Let's go and visit a new land. It wasn't that. And, you know, the correlation and the relationship that I'm saying is, I certainly know God will tell you, and you have done this in your life. Most of you here are old enough to do this. God tells you to go do something, you go do it. Whether it was comfortable for you or not, that's a whole nother story. Obedience is obedience. Whether we're comfortable in it or not, you have to get over that, because that takes courage. To listen to God, to take a step, it takes courage and it takes faith. Faith that you said something to me, I heard you, and I'm going to obey you. That's the fear of the Lord in your life. And that's a good thing. That's what we want. We're promoting this. So he was captive. His friends were captive. They went to the court. They were young men, very young, youths. They were trained for 3 years. They went to school. Couldn't I just go to school in Jerusalem? Well, you wouldn't learn. There's not class on Chaldean in Jerusalem. There's not the gods of the Chaldean gods to learn about or a history. The only history they have in Jerusalem is their kings, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All the history that we find in the Old Testament, that's what you'll find in Jerusalem. So they went to this particular place, and they were taught all these things for 3 years. As we're going through the narrative, after they graduated, they sat before the king. They went right to the top, and he questioned them to find out whether they knew what they knew. And they did. They paid attention in class because they were 10 times intellectual. 10 times intuitive, 10 times of the revelation that the rest of them had. This is a remarkable statement, a remarkable thing, but it's going to set the tone as we go and see what kind of people these are. So one of the main things that we brought out right in the book of Daniel is in verse 8, really powerful statement. Daniel made up his mind. That will change your life. And, you know, matter of fact, it did change your life. You made up your mind that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior by acknowledging him, by asking him into your heart. That absolutely changed your life. If you lay hold of it, if you cleave to it, if you do not run away from it, it will continue to change your life. You'll continue to grow. This Daniel that we know right now is not going to be the same Daniel when we get to chapter 10, 11, 12. It's not going to be the same guy because people age. But with age comes day and night, trials, tribulations, slumber, awake, prayer, study, read. All these things are adding to your life. Everything is adding to your life all the time. And as things are added to your life, revelation comes to you. And that's why we see the change in a man. If you remember, a year ago, 2 years ago, when I taught in Peter, I was studying this, 1 Peter, I was studying this, and just as a matter of factly, this is the real, what we know about Peter is what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And that's what we say, let's go look at Peter. So it's coming, Sunday is coming, and it's time to preach and start teaching in Peter 1, first chapter, first verse. And Saturday, the Lord says to me, which Peter are you going to preach? What? Which Peter are you going to preach? Well, that was a sobering question. Am I going to preach about the Peter that denied Christ, or the Peter that stepped over the boat, or the Peter that, you know, did this and did that, or and took a sword and cut the servant's ear off? Or which Peter am I going to preach about? I made up my mind in that very moment, if you don't mind. I made up my mind to teach about the Peter that endured till the end unto his salvation, and shortly he was ready to offer up his body, his life. He was going to be crucified, you know, and Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll find out how he died. But I'm saying this is a mature Peter, a seasoned Peter, on the mission field Peter, one who sat and fell asleep while soldiers were around him, and he was chained up, and he was fast asleep, and the angel had to wake him up, and his chains dropped off. He said, let's go. We got to go. This is the Peter that grew to be this older man who could impart revelation and add to your faith patience, add to your patience, virtue. This Peter is amazing now. I love Peter. He's amazing. And you'll love Daniel as well as he grows, but he's not there yet. So he made up his mind. That's the first thing we have to do, make up your mind. So he didn't want to be defiled. Little bit of review. We're moving forward because we're actually cliffhanger. We left on a cliffhanger. He's about ready to die, him and his buddies. There's a sentence of death. There's a sentence of death against Daniel and his friends by the king, you know, the one that brought them up there, Nebuchadnezzar. And so we see that story develop. So the king had a dream, chapter 2. He's pondering this dream. It's been bothering him. He doesn't understand it. What we don't know yet in Scripture, hopefully you are mature enough to know this, is God can visit you in your dreams. He oftentimes talks to you in your dreams. Do you understand with your mind that he's actually talking to you in your dreams? I would say that that takes a state of maturity to really discern the difference between pizza and ice cream, as my brother Bill Hake used to say to me. Understand whether it was pizza, ice cream, or the God is trying to get a message to you. Now, he can do that very oftentimes, has done that in Scripture. We have to understand authority has a lot to do with this. Pharaoh of Egypt had dreams. He was the authority in the land. So God will speak to the authority in the land. We see this many times in Scripture. Just the way it is. You're the authority in your house. You are. By the Lord Jesus Christ granted you husband, wife, children. God could give the husband the daddy dreams about his family and about his children and about the future of his family. He can give you dreams if you pay attention. He might visit you in trance and vision. We have to give place to the Holy Spirit to do these works in our life and ponder it. I'm just saying, Daniel brings out the fact that he pondered this. So this troubled Nebuchadnezzar. He was really bothered by this, that he didn't understand. So that tells me this dream was so vivid to him, so detailed and so real, but his mind couldn't comprehend it. He didn't understand the meaning of the dream. He probably dropped it, picked it up, dropped it, picked it up. But I'm just enveloping the story a bit as he's going down through here. So he calls for the Chaldeans, the wise men, the conjurers, the people, the magicians. He calls them all. Daniel's not promoted yet. He's still a young man. He's still a young man and he's been serving. And he says to them, tell me my dream and give me the interpretation of that dream. So he's already well aware that they will lie to him. Your wise men and your educators and your politicians will lie to you. I can't help that. They have their own initiatives that they want to. They want to persuade you. They want to lead you. But God wants to lead you and guide you. Sometimes his ways will oppose their ways. God wants to lead a nation in a certain way. He does not want to lead this nation into ungodliness. So every politician that leads you to ungodliness, resist him, do not listen to him. Or if you like her, then the same applies. Because there's a lot of women that wield a lot of power. To be honest, you know, in the day that we live, we could go back to the Old Testament, we could talk about Jezebel if you want. Some women wield a lot of power over a decision that is being made in politics and in the lives of families. He told them, no, it's not going down that way. This is for sure how it's going to go down, this Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to find out later. It's going to be a long time till we find this. Daniel says to his son, Belshazzar, you should have learned your lessons from your father. He let live who he wanted to, and he killed who he wanted to. He knew Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was this kind of king. He had the power to grant life, and he had the power to take away life. Nebuchadnezzar, this is who we come to find out who he's talking about. So here, let's move on to where we're going to apply today. Verse 14, chapter 2. Then Daniel replied to the Arioch. Arioch was center on, look, Arioch, get to it. Go kill the Chaldean wise men, the Chaldean sorcerers, the Chaldean magicians, all the Chaldeans. Arioch was headed to find them. And Daniel replied with discretion to Arioch, the captain of the bodyguard, who had gone to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he said to Arioch, the commander, sir, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? See, sometimes you get put in positions where there's a sentence placed and you don't even know why. You never got the chance to even vote for this. But you're in a position in life where you have to trust God. So Daniel asked his question, and he said, then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. All the magicians went there. The king said, tell me the dream. They could not tell me the dream. They're stalling, they're him-hauling around, and he said, he's made this decision to just kill them all. That was your sentence. Burn everything down. Their families, their lives are ruined, because they couldn't tell him the dream. This was really the chase of it, cutting to it, where the rubber meets the road. There's an expectation of, you tell me that you are this people, then tell me what the dream is. And they could not. So Daniel went in, requested of the king. Daniel knew the king. The king liked Daniel and his friends. We already established that earlier. He probably enjoyed talking to them, to be honest with you, if you don't mind me embellishing a little bit here. He probably enjoyed talking to him, to those young men. They were brilliant. He probably learned new things from them. To be frank about it, I learned new things from brilliant people, to be honest with you, still, right? Give me time in order that I might declare the interpretation to the king. He went there by himself. He asked the king, please, I didn't even know about this, king. Please tell me. Give me time, and I will come back to you with an answer. So Daniel went to his house. Very, very urgent and pressing. This is very urgent and pressing. This is a life and death moment in your life. That we all have gone through certain things, whereas if I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is going to happen. And it will happen. It's not a chance that it will happen. These guys were walking dead men at this point in the mind of the king. Daniel went to his house and informed his friends. It's really nice when you have friends you can go to when you're in tragedy and struggle and difficulties in your life. It's good to have friends. Daniel had friends. It's difficult. It's challenging to do these things all by yourself. But it can be done because God is with you. But Daniel had friends. Let's go. Friends. Let's be friends. What do friends do? What do family do? So he went to his friends, and he told them, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter. Explained it to them so that they might request compassion from God of heaven concerning these mysteries, so Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He didn't want to die. Can you blame him? I'm just getting started here in life. He did not want to die. Now, this isn't a message about prayer, but this is prayer, if you don't mind. He went to seek the God who knows all mysteries. Because he had a mystery to solve. He had a dream to interpret. He had a dream to see, know, and understand the dream and its interpretation. That's what was required. You know the story. You know, I'm just telling you something you already know. So they prayed. Then they were praying. How long? It doesn't tell us. But God can give you an answer swiftly. But let me just say, as it goes to the next part of the verse, it's almost like he went in and prayed for 5 minutes and got his answer. But that doesn't matter. Maybe it did and maybe it didn't. But he got his answer. That's right. Then the mystery was revealed. That's important. It was revealed. The mysteries you have in your life can be revealed to you. Things can be revealed. In a night vision, this is when it came to him. Then Daniel, it was just revealed. He knows it all now. It's all laid up before him. If you've ever had a revelation of something, it's almost like the window opens so fast, so far, that the breeze is like it's amazing. You've probably experienced that in your life. You could see the end from the beginning just like that. In the snap of a finger, you're walking in darkness, and all of a sudden, whoa, give me my sunglasses. It's bright. God can bring enlightenment and a revelation that you understand the breadth of mind to understanding the beginning and the end. This is incredible what the Spirit of God can reveal to you. He says, he begins, as soon as he saw this, he said, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Right away, he began to give praise and thanksgiving to the God who revealed it. And this is going to come out more, so I don't want to camp on that. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. I guarantee you, he wasn't calling on any Chaldean God, not the ones he's been learning about the last 3 years. And there's a lot of them. He had to study them. He had to know them in his mind from everything he was taught from his youth to the time he got to Babylon. The living God, the one who created the heaven and the earth, the God of his father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he was well acquainted with him. And there was nothing to compare. There was nothing when he went to school that can compare to the living God that he prayed to constantly, which we know that by the end of his story. He prayed to God constantly. Blessed be the God forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and epochs. He knows, He knows God very well. You know, amazingly well. We can learn a lot from Daniel. He removes kings. Again, let me throw the word out to you. I'll just toss it out to you. You pick it up if you think you want to. Sovereignty. God does what he wants when he wants. We have difficulty dealing with that word at times. But see, he causes kings to rise and nations to flourish. And he brings them down and turns them into a wasteland. And he does it every single case that you can look at since the history of humanity. He does things in purpose and for reasons. The nations that will exalt the living God will flourish. And those who will disrespect life and light and righteousness, they will fall. Over time, they will fall. So choose you this day. What do you want to be a part of? He removes kings, establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men. As if you're not wise enough, he'll give you more. He'll keep giving it to you. I love that. And knowledge to men of understanding. Do you think Proverbs was written then? Of course it was. I'm being a bit sarcastic. Do you think Daniel studied Proverbs when he was young? Don't you see these things in Proverbs? Of course you do. My son, attend to my word. Grasp understanding and wisdom. Buy wisdom and sell it not. These are the things he would know. The word will come out if you put it in your heart. He says, verse 22, it is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. Any profound thing that you're curious about, God wants to reveal it to you. He wants to. We just have to wait on him, ponder him, wait on him for that prayer. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. Psalm 36 comes to mind. If you take notes, you can read that. Psalm 36 is kind of interesting in this. John 1 and 1 John 1 talks about he's the light. He's the light that comes in there. He lightens your life. He gives you clarity of thought and insight into your life. The light dwells with him. To you, O God of my Father, I give you praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Power dwells with wisdom. That's interesting. Wisdom, power. This is what God gives a man. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. Next part of that verse, even now you have made known, even now, this moment, you have made known to me what we request of you. He's given a praise report here. Lord, we pray for something. You gave it to me. He understood this dream. This is about ready to blow up, right? For you have made us known the king's matter. The matter of the king was his business. But because the king made it the conjurer's business and a magician's business and the wise men, he made it known because the king didn't understand. But what God was telling him in the dream was his business to know. But he didn't know. So he sought other people that maybe they would know. And he got dragged these people into his life to tell him. He set up the rules for it. It's interesting how it's happening. The prayer comes into play. The living God comes into play because he's the one who holds all mysteries. He gave the dream. Why couldn't he give it to Daniel? But he did. He did. Therefore, Daniel went onto Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke as follows. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Daniel wasn't just saving his life and his three friends' life. He was saving all of their lives. Wasn't making a big deal of it, but this is a fact of the matter. He was saving all of their lives, right? Take me into the king's presence. Look at this boldness. Look at this courage that he has. The revelation of the dream gave him that. You'll know what you know. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, you will know what you know. This is it. Salvation belongs to you. The blood of the Lamb has cleansed you from all your sins. These are things you have to make up your mind about. Watch what happens here. I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly, I love the way this story like just keeps developing. Arioch is an interesting character. Arioch hurried, brought Daniel to the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? That was the goal, right? It didn't change. Everything that the king had presented is still the same. Daniel, when you hear this answer from Daniel, you wonder if your heart is going to sink for a moment. Because let me read it again, and I'll tell you what my wife tells me all the time. This is interesting. I got you on the edge of your seat now. My wife tells me this all the time. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? That's a yes or no question. Katie, you've been there, right? It's a yes or no question. But that's not how Daniel answers, but just stay calm here because it's very interesting what he comes out. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, or diviners are able to declare to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar. He's made known to you, king. There's a reason for the dream. It's not just so you could have dreams, so that you consider yourself a spiritual man or woman. Dreams do not make you a spiritual man or woman. What is the dream? What is your future? What is happening? I don't want to tell the whole story. I'll probably get it wrong. But I remember Brother Dale talking about, in vision, he saw this map of the Ukraine, and he positioned all the armies of Russia and said they're going to attack from these various locations. He saw it. And it happened exactly the way he saw it. So he was just looking for somebody to tell it to. So there's more to that story, but you might remember the story because Brother Dale has told us these things in the past. Now, we're very far. When was that, Brother Bob? 2017, 18, 19? 2014. He saw these things in a map. He had a vision for this. And the Lord told him to go stop the war. He's been working at that. Thank God, with help from some friends, possibly this can be accomplished. And there can be change in the nation. And there can be revivals on a land that needs revival. God gives vision for a reason. He gives dream and purpose. And he reveals mysteries for a reason. No matter how much you ever thought or you think now that you're alone here on the earth, you're not. God is watching the affairs of men, and he's watching the affairs of nations. And so it behooves us, it's up to us, to be the godly man in any situation that we are put in. Are we going to take a high road in every situation and every challenge of our life? Or are we just going to turn the flesh back on and turn the spirit man off and act like a knucklehead? Or are we going to act like a spiritual man? These are the challenges that we have every day. However, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, verse 28. He has made known to the king what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and vision in your mind while you were in your bed. He's telling him that this is the point of it. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. He cares about you that much. He cared about this nation that much. He's telling him the direction. You know, this is going to come back to bite Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to tell him, man, I don't want to give it away too soon, but you know about the statue. He's going to warn him about the statue. But somehow Nebuchadnezzar keeps walking like it's nothing, and he decides to erect a statue anyway. And it's going to cost more problems. But anyway, not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, verse 30. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me, more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. This is what happens to us. You just don't understand what's going on in your mind. I was having this discussion with Ralph yesterday about the mind. Well, the mind is at enmity with God. But he gave you a brain. He gave you intelligence. He lets you think. Yes, you must walk in the Spirit, but why would we have to renew our mind if we're not allowed to use it? So all the time in Bible school, in Bible class, I always engage with the students. Now you have to think. You have to think about this. You have to let this go into your mind as well as into your spirit. I don't want anybody to throw a stone or a sneaker at me here, but he's given you a brain and a mind, and your mind can be enlightened with revelation knowledge. Then you will know that you know that you know. You know the living God. You've engaged this. Your spirit has taught you what to do. It's something to ponder. There's no easy snap your fingers and you get this. There's something about your mind that God has made that wants to engage with him. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But he wants to impart to you his thoughts. Spiritual thoughts. Paul talks about this, 1 Corinthians. It's taking spiritual thoughts with spiritual words and bringing them together so that revelation comes and we know what we know. We know who God is. As for you, verse 29, as for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts return to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, the mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me, more than any other living man, for the purpose of making interpretation known. This will happen to you as the Holy Spirit continues to remain in you, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. O king, you were looking. Behold, there was a single great statue, that statue which was large and of extraordinary splendor. You're going to see entire prophetic narrative dump right into this revelation. Daniel had no problem understanding how this was going to work. He knew Isaiah. He knew of his writings. He knew of the writings of Amos. He knew of the writings of some of these prophets in the Psalms. He knew these things made sense to him. He clearly understood them. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron, partly of clay. I'm not talking eschatology here. I'm not talking about end time prophecy or coming up with all the answers in your mind of how the world is going to end. I'm trying to say that God gave a dream to this Nebuchadnezzar to show him his future, to steer him from the error of his ways so that he would give praise to the living God. And we'll see that more in this narrative as he continues to engage with Daniel. Something's going to happen again later on down the road. And he's going to say, I have another vision. And he's going to see a tree. Well, a tree is not a statue. A tree is a tree. And he's going to say to him about this. And he said, oh, king, he saw it right away. He didn't even have to run away and pray about it. He saw it right away what was going to happen to him. He showed you your future here, and you didn't listen, and it's going to happen again. It comes full circle. And that's really a type of our life, to be quite honest with you. If we don't learn certain lessons when we're back here, that's why I don't try to go around correcting people all the time. Because I'm perfectly confident that God is able to get the lesson to them that he wants. I will pray for people, and I will try to help them, and I will try to show them truth. But God, what the revelation that I got is, do you think I love them more than you do? That hit me. And I had to acknowledge, of course he does. God loves you more than I do. I'm sorry. He just does. He sees things in you maybe I don't see. He loves you more. And he wants to get you something. Just like the children in the wilderness, if you didn't get it here, no worries. Maybe you'll get it here. And if not, no worries. Maybe you'll get it here. And it will keep coming back and visiting you until you get it right. All of us. Me too. Me too. I want to tell you about them 69 trips in the wilderness before I finally got some. Boom! Oh, that's what you were trying to tell me. Of course. And honestly, this is the way of humanity. This is the way we do. We should get a revelation of God, commit ourselves to it, make up our mind about it, lay hold of it, and run with it. Because it's for your good. These things come to you for your good. Verse 33, I know I read that. It's legs of iron, partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking. You didn't bail out of your dream. You continued looking until the stone. This is important. This will be important in the interpretation of it. So watch this. This is God's plan for the world. Most of this has come to pass already, by the way. You continue looking. A stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. The stone which the builders rejected, which was already written by Isaiah, which is likely Daniel already knew this, but crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. Not a trace of them. Ancient civilizations, not a trace. Gone. But the stone that struck the statue become a great mountain, filled the whole earth. That's not the only explanation of these things. The rock which the builders rejected. This rock, this revelation upon which the church will be built. This stone which shortly from now, we don't see this just yet, but he's, as we already read previously, Daniel reigned all the way to Cyrus. It says it here. What happened when Cyrus came? He sent the people back to Jerusalem to build the tabernacle. Connect the dot, please. Don't stop your thought there. Who did he send back? Zerubbabel and Jeshua. Those were the two men. You find this in the book of Ezra. Ezra is what's called post-captivity period time. When the children came back. Pastor Bill preached on this quite frequently. Rebuilding of the temple. Don't be discouraged, you know, seeing all these things. What happens? Stone is where I'm focused on right now. The top stone that will be placed is what I'm talking about right now. Whereas Zechariah, who is one of the prophets, who's the other one? It's not a test. Haggai. Those two prophets were prophesying in the days of Ezra. And in Zechariah, you'll find a page that says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He's talking about the top stone that is going to be put on the top. And he will be the very head. He will be the very top of things. He will be in charge of everything. And the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. This is what he's getting to eventually. Eventually. Let me continue on just for another couple minutes. The statue became great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is not that long after he's interpreting this dream. He's going to stay there for almost 70 years. Daniel will never go back. Daniel will never go back to Jerusalem. But others will. He was in the place where God wanted him to be, and he stayed there. God bless him. He stayed in that place, in that position. Because you see, if I can tease you a little bit with Bible narrative and connecting dots, when you read the book of Ezra, when they're struggling with the people in the land said, I'm going to write some letters, and we're going to send them to Persia, and we're going to tell Darius what's going on down here. And if you let these people build this temple, they'll rebel against you. Well, when they wrote the letter to Darius, guess who was still there? Daniel. It says he reigned all through Darius. Daniel was still there when that letter came in from Jerusalem. Daniel was still there. He might even let a letter, but it doesn't say that. But there was a search made in the archives of whether Cyrus issued a decree, because the Babylonians and the Chaldeans and the Persians and the Medes, they kept glorious records of everything, every edict that was ever said, and never broke a rule. When they said something, that was it. That was it. They found it in the archives, in the library. They found the scroll that was written, Cyrus, send back the people and from the people of the land, and I'll write you a check, and you can go ahead and rebuild this temple, and it's fantastic. And with the help of Zechariah and Haggai, the prophets in the land, they began to rebuild again, because it laid its foundation laid for 11 years and nothing was done. It all has to do with this. This was the dream. Now I'll tell you its interpretation. You know what? I'm going to save that for next week. I'm learning how to do that. I'm still studying it. We're going to find out. Go ahead and read ahead. Let's find out what happened. Go ahead and find out what happened. I'm going to tell you the interpretation of the dream, because he didn't tell him. He didn't tell him yet. But we'll pick this up next week. Father, we thank you that you interpret, you give us dreams. You give us a good spirit to interpret dreams. Lord, our life is led by the Holy Ghost, and we know day in and day out the things we need to attend to prayer, to the word, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Those are the things you told us to do. Be kind to one another. Help one another. Lord, we just glorify your name right now. We thank you that you've put Daniel and his friends in this place at this time, that they can be useful to this servant of yours, this Nebuchadnezzar, who is the most powerful king on the earth at this time. And we thank you that he's going to advise him in right ways, and as you always do, Father God. Thank you for leading us in right ways and showing us what we should do, in the name of Jesus. Amen.